You're listening to the What's the Fuzz podcast, where we break you out of your vacuum seal and get down to what's real. Never miss another episode again. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And now, your host, Reiner.
What's going on, my fuzzy, wuzzy, snuggly listeners? It's your boy in blue, no, the other one, here with another episode of What's the Fuzz? Thanks so much for tuning in, whether this is your first episode or the 100th, though I suppose it'll be a while before we get there. With that being said, I'm happy to announce that this is officially the 10th episode of the What's the Fuzz podcast. Woo! Heck yeah. And to celebrate, I've got Fuzzy Mutt here with me today.
Hey, sup, Fluffs?
Hey. And we're gonna talk about BIPOC artists in the fandom, plushies, and mythical guardian lion dog type things. Exciting.
That me.
Maybe. But before we get into that, I wanted to say that it has been remarkable doing this show for all of you wonderful listeners. When this started, I never thought it would come this far. We are approaching 300 plus downloads since I've put the podcast on Transistor, and honestly, I've never been more motivated to put out content for you guys. Sean, my audio editor, Ren, my artist, and myself is all of Team Reiner right now. We appreciate each and every one of you for the kind words, donations, and hell, you know, the silent listeners out there that never say a word but tune in every time. The folks that come on here and pour their hearts and souls out for us have the kind of courage I wished that I had. It's not as simple as putting BLM in your bio. Sharing your stories, your experiences, and calling out the injustices that you see all around you takes a fuckload of balls, I'll tell you what. It makes me so glad to see more furries fighting against the fucking bigotry that's everywhere. And we have some pretty cool things coming up in the future for those of you that are paying attention. Not to give anything away right now. Hey, don't forget to uplift your BIPOC friends. Share their music, share their art. Encourage them to strive to achieve the greatness they may not feel that they deserve. As I said before, tonight I'm sitting down with Fuzzy, a plushie maker and artist that's would have been at Furry Weekend Atlanta this year had it not been for the lusty Mrs. Rona. You can check out her website over at fuzzymutt.com and her Twitter at fuzzymutt. Personally, I really like the homemade sewn by grandma look to her plushies. They retain a lot of love and warmth. So, before we get into the meat of the interview, I'd like to ask an icebreaker question. The question that I've got for you is, would you rather be subjected to drinking a tub of mustard or a tub of mayonnaise?
Wow, that's a tub of anything might be a feat to, mustard or mayonnaise, huh?
Yeah, let's say it's the size of like a rather thick jar, like a peanut butter jar. Yeah.
Both of those would be quite unpleasant, but I guess if I had to choose, it would be the mustard. At least there's some flavor there.
Mayonnaise has plenty of flavor.
Yeah.
All right, good time to remind you guys that the links to her store will be below, as well as the Twitter links and everything. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Fuzzy.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So I guess my first question for you would be, why did you choose a Shisa of all things to be your fursona?
That has a long story and a short story. I mean, I give you the short story.
Give us the long one. We want to hear a story.
We want to hear story. While it is not necessarily a part of my biological makeup or anything, I was born in Okinawa, Japan. So it is...
Ooh.
I can't really say that's my culture, and I will not, but, you know, it is where I was born. I have memories of it. It's pretty super cool. The Shisa is definitely a known figure in Okinawa. I always thought they looked very amazing. I have an interesting story about encountering a dancing Shisa, but...
a dancing Shisa? Like, they were dressed up as Shisa. Is this the statue or what?
Well, so the Shisa is the Japanese version of a Chinese lion or fu dog is what that is. Just like their Chinese counterparts that have the dancing version on the Lunar New Year and everything. The Shisa does have a dancing version. Its purpose is a little bit different, and therefore it is made to match. It's a strange looking critter. It's a very, very strange looking critter. While Chinese lions are very gorgeous with their, you know, big fluffy lashes and, you know, the two dancers inside have them do very elegant movements and acrobatics and stuff. Mm-hmm. The dancing Shisa is made to ward off evil spirits, and it looks the part. It's a very odd creature.
Oh, so it like looks all wonky and shit.
It really does. It's kind of nightmare fuel.
but it's nightmare fuel you're into.
Yes. Because interestingly enough, just like its Chinese counterpart, the lion or the nyan, it's still good luck if one is like interacting with you and stuff. So even though it is, you know, a functional costume, the dancers inside like to mimic it eating people.
Oh.
And so often, for good luck, people offer their children to be, quote unquote, bitten by the dancing Shisa. I am pretty sure that Mother Mutt did this for me, offered me to be gobbled up by a dancing Shisa for good luck. And if you're a tiny kid, I'm sure it's traumatizing, but... I just thought the experience was super interesting, and I was like, huh. So, kind of attached to the Shisa as a creature. It, personality-wise, I don't know, it kind of fits, because I have a very mom-like personality and guarding and stuff. But yeah, it's just definitely a creature that I'm kind of attached to. And, Persona has its own interesting story, but...
Damn.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to, like, picture that as, like, a small child and this monstrous, fugly, like, monster dog thing comes over and it's, like, eating you. Yep. And it's just, like, something that defined your life, whether you wanted it or not. It's just going to have a mark on you.
Exactly. That's what I was like. I could process it as trauma or I could own it. I just kind of think the story is fascinating.
Oh, yeah. It's very interesting. It's very interesting. So... what got you interested in the furry fandom, like, in the first place? Like, do you feel like it's a big part of who you are now?
I would say so, definitely. I think I'm one of those people who was probably furry from the beginning, but didn't know that was a thing until, I don't know, the internet.
Yeah, the Shisa that did it to you. That's what did it.
There you go. But yeah, definitely was that kid who would, you know, find the dog at the gathering and, you know, talk to the squirrels and, you know, it's time to pretend I'm going to put this like tail on and
talk to squirrels. I'm sorry. I think I missed something there.
I don't know. I was that kid. I would always find the animal and be like, I want to talk to it. Yeah. Once the internet happened, I was like, wait, there are other people out there who like do these silly things. Huh? Check that out.
Damn. Over here, like, you merely adopted the furry lifestyle. I was born in it. Literally.
Maybe. No.
So, do you feel as though being a furry in some way makes people feel like they're removed from the real world enough to say, like, absolute crazy wild shit? Like, for instance, furry claiming to be sweet, friendly, empath, ooh-woo, that kind of thing. Can say some crazy racist shit like, why should I care if some random black guy gets killed, ooh-woo. Just stay in your house, ooh-woo.
I definitely think that somehow people get this way. Like, I mean, you join the furry community and you think, oh, look at all these, you know, crazy like-minded people who like to be a dog and, you know, orchid people and be cute, ooh-woo, fluffy. And they definitely fall hard into the escapism part.